Just in getting started, everybody obviously knows the mayor, Dave Lindsay, the founder and leader of the company we're here to celebrate today, and he'll make the announcement in just 1 minute. I just want to say by way of beginning that today we celebrate the best of stories. The small business started in a spare bedroom almost exactly 10 years ago. It is already employing hundreds and soon will employ 1,100 more Hoosiers. And it's the genius of the American economy, and it's something we want to see happen in Indiana more and more. And so this is one of our great entrepreneurs and job creators, soon to create jobs here in Indianapolis, the headquarters of Defender Direct, and before long, hundreds more in sites around Indiana yet to be chosen. So, David, congratulations to you and your team on a fabulous success story and on the courage and vision it took to do that. And please, if you would, share the news you bring with the citizens of Indianapolis and Indiana.
Terrific. Well, I would like to begin by thanking the governor and Mayor Ballard for supporting the continued growth of our business and expansion here in Indiana. I'm a big fan of both of you, so it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm just excited to be able to help grow our business here with you guys. My wife, Jessica, and I are IU grads and Hoosiers, so we know the value that Indiana has to offer. In 1998, Jessica and I started our business. We quit our fast-track jobs in Virginia, moved back home, and the 10-year anniversary of that move is next week. So it's kind of befitting that we're here today to celebrate that. Our goal at that time was to build a family and a business. And now 750 employees and three babies later, we feel like those last 10 years have been quite a blessing. Defender started out as a local ADT security system firm here in Indianapolis. It's now evolved into a national provider of alarms, monitoring services, satellite TV, and other technologies to homeowners around the country. We market, sell, and install, as well as service products for homeowners. Currently, Defender is ADT Security's number one largest dealer in the country. GE Security, we're also their largest dealer. And for Dish Network Satellite, we're the second largest dealer in the country. We've twice been listed on the Inc. 5000 list. We were as high as number 133 in 2004. And just last year, we were number two on the IBJ's fastest growing privately held businesses. Our growth has been fueled really by three things. First has been geographical expansion. We're really the only nationwide provider of security besides ADT corporate themselves. That nationwide footprint has allowed us to realize some economies of scale in our marketing and to be more sophisticated in our marketing than versus most of the local competitors that we have that operate on a local basis. And third, most importantly, has probably been our ability to grow and develop leaders at Defender. There are actually literally thousands of security companies and satellite dealers around the country. And the humbling experience for me as a homeowner has been that businesses don't grow, people do. I think what separated our business has been the ability to grow those people, and we're excited to continue to do that. Since 1998, our annual growth rate each year has been well over 50% a year on average. We do have technicians all around the country, but we employ close to 400 people here in Indiana. We have a business response center in Sunman, Indiana, Greensburg, Indiana, and also here in Indianapolis. Our headquarters is also a separate office here in Indianapolis. And now our forecast over the next 5 years is we plan to create 1,100 jobs here in Indiana. The average wage for those jobs we expect to be about $18 an hour. And the positions will be of the type of customer service, sales, administrative, as well as management. Defender Direct plans to invest $15 million here in Indiana to create those 1,100 jobs. We have a high-tech work environment, and we plan to continuously invest in that environment. The rapid and professional response from the governor and the mayor and their teams have really jived well with the fast growth culture of our business, and that's the reason that we've really chosen to keep our headquarters and to keep growing here in Indiana. They are very competitive and very responsive, and we just really appreciate that. Thank you again. And I'd just like to conclude by saying, Governor and Mayor, we look forward to being your partner here in growing Indiana. Thank you.
Congratulations, David.
Thanks.
Just to follow up, I want to congratulate so many people. The governor, obviously, Nate Feldman, IEDC, and David, and I very much appreciate them retaining their headquarters here in Indianapolis, and of course, adding 300 new jobs here in Indianapolis. It was a team effort, great company, great American story, and we're really proud that you're going to stay here. And I look forward to more success stories with you, Governor.
Let's do it. All right. Let's do it.
Thank you.
We invite your questions.
How many of the 1,000 jobs will eventually wind up here in Indianapolis? Is there going to be a competition between these cities? Where are all the jobs eventually going to go?
We expect that they will definitely be spread throughout the city. I'm sorry, throughout the state. We have built our company on a model that we purposely like having multiple business response centers. Currently, we have one, as I said, Sunman and Greensburg. We expect the growth to be there as well as in Indianapolis. And we may even entertain a fourth location over time. It'd probably be somewhere along the I-74 corridor. That's been where we've grown.
What's your total employment in Indiana now?
Without having the numbers specific, I know it's around 400 for the whole state, and I believe it's close to 300 or 250 of those here in Indianapolis.
What other states or cities would you consider before deciding to stay in Indiana?
You know, we do business in 40 different states around the country, so we had a lot of options. I'd rather not go into all the details, but we had a number of good options, but are real happy to stay here.
Did other states or localities offer incentives to come to their location?
Yes, they did.
More than the state of Indiana?
I'd rather not go into the details, but I think by us choosing to stay here, we thought this was the best option.
So what are the incentives that the state or the city offer?
I think they're in the release, actually. Get one?
I think they're in the release. They're in the release.
What's your timetable for the job
hiring? The job creation? We expect most all those jobs to be created over the next 5 years. I think it's already begun. I think the baseline, and we originally got this deal done in late or mid-December, and we've already hired close to 50 employees since then. But the real goal, I think, is over the next 5 years.
Sure. Before you do, let me just make one comment in context here that I think might be timely. At any point in time, a dynamic economy, if it's going to grow, will be adding jobs and also shedding jobs. If a brand new product like inhaled insulin is not going to make it in the marketplace, consumers decide that. If an old product like steel-walled refrigerators goes out of fashion, there's really nothing government can or should do to keep a failing company or product in business. What people like the mayor and I must do is constantly see that our state, our cities, are replacing those jobs that inevitably go away with more than one new job. Indiana's been doing that. We've been gaining, and unemployment's the lowest in 6 years. But recent events just point out This is our must be our objective, to build the best environment and then to hustle as hard as we can to see that the growth of new companies, like Defender Direct, constantly surpasses the inevitable erosion of older firms or of products and companies that just don't make it in a very competitive marketplace. Indiana's winning that fight today, but we are constantly reminded we must never pause very long. We must move from this announcement to the next one and the next one, because the marketplace is a very tough disciplinarian. Oh, sure, there are lots of issues to work out, but I just don't know how we could have been in better shape, and I just have I have only compliments for the leadership in both houses and everybody who's worked on this. I don't think anybody would have predicted a few months ago that we would be at this point with very similar bills and ahead of schedule. So we're realistic that there'll be lots of arguments and some tough issues to resolve, but I don't know how we could have progressed any better. They could have progressed any better than they've done.
Are you concerned at all about some of the House Republican efforts to put things into HR1, including gay marriage, and essentially?
Well, not conceptually, but at a practical level, I want to see permanent protection for property taxpayers. I want the protection of a 1% cap and other caps for other property to be protected against either some future legislature undoing them or some judge. And so at some point, we need to find a way for these things to be decided each on their individual merits.
How seriously are these bills hurt by things like restricting the referendums and leaving the 44 assessors?
Some compromise and some adjustment is going to be necessary here. We've always said it, and that's the nature of the process. There's some things I think are pretty central, and I think a referendum process, trusting the people, letting them make decisions before they are taxed for big borrowing, is pretty important. So the concept's alive. We'll have to keep debating it, but I appreciate the fact that it's either passed or partially passed both houses. Well, it won't, not in my opinion, as long as the people have the right to speak in a way that they do not today. Now, I still prefer very much the bill we sent on these two points. But again, I think it's important for me to let the legislature work its will and for now, and we'll all visit together at the end about how to blend everybody's strongest feelings and best ideas.
The bill that arrives at your desk only allows referendums on gyms and pools. Would you veto it?
Well, I'm certainly not going to say that. I'm going to work hard to preserve the idea that the people ought to be able to speak on these subjects, and I think we've got a very good chance of that happening. But way too early to talk about what would or wouldn't cause me to disagree or veto a bill that stands to be the biggest tax cut in Indiana history.
How concerned are you about the lack of interest perhaps in government reform up there? We mentioned the assessors, we're going to keep those in the largest counties. They are changing the idea of having a single chief executive to having that only if there's a referendum to approve it, and we've also decided we're keeping elected county assessors.
Well, none of that's decided. One house may have come up short on one of these points or some other. But no, it's not a big concern of mine at the moment, because my concern is property tax cuts and property tax reform. Really, the fundamental changes that the Kern and Shepard Commission recommended, I see as the work of 2009, most of them. And I always intended it that way, as you know. And I think that report ought to sit out there and be studied and argued about by Hoosiers, all of us. And I plan to take part in that debate, but It was never my thought that somehow all these things might happen immediately in 2008. So those two or three that are part of the property tax debate, like assessors, we'll keep working on. But the issues of most of those 27 recommendations, I think, are for the people of Indiana to talk about and move on after this year. Can they walk and chew gum? Sure. Some of that gum's important. But I think the evidence is very, very clear that they are making remarkable progress. If you were to go back and read some of the forecasts from last July, September, November, there were very few people expected the degree of agreement about direction and essentials that we've seen so far. So I'm not minimizing the difficulties from here to the end at all, but I just don't know how anyone could have expected more concentration on this issue or faster progress. I haven't made a close study yet. It addresses a very serious set of concerns, legitimate concerns people have. I think, as many have said, we want to be careful about means, make sure that the means chosen are wise ones.
Could you address the same-sex marriage amendment again? Do you think it's appropriate that the same-sex marriage amendment be attached to a constitutional amendment on property tax cap?
I support it, but I leave questions of tactics to the legislature themselves. They have to decide how to deal with the issues in front of them. Well, congratulations again to a great Indiana company. Happy 10th anniversary, and can't wait to see what happens in the next 10 years.